You have to sit in the first three rows. Bill, you and Helen are good. Wayne, you're good. Sarah, come on, move forward. Phoebe, come on. Deborah? James, it's a beautiful day, and Jim, how can we, Marlene, you can't count cities. Count, you can count as your life. That's four. Come on, Ray, get up here. Deborah, that's, you are a treasurer, for goodness sake.
Talking about what Paul's trying to communicate. Heavenly Father, you have a dream for the way that life should be. You sent your Son not only to paint a picture of that dream, but to live it out and to inaugurate the kingdom. And now you send the Spirit to empower us to live life in that new way of living. Give us ears to hear what you have to say to us today. Help us to recognize your presence and your power in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever been to a phenomenal buffet? Anybody ever remember? Some of you are way too young for this, but did anybody ever remember Frank Baker's buffet on the North Shore? Bill, not even you? I had one person in Robinson Park, Paul, who remembered Frank Baker's. I used to go there after church on Sunday. I couldn't wait. I was an 11, 12-year-old boy. I'm telling you, that's the best thing ever. This buffet went on and on, and it was spectacular. Sunday afternoons were always difficult for me. I don't eat too much at this buffet, but it was wonderful. So can you think of a buffet in your mind, somewhere where you've gone and you've spent? The food was spectacular. I've got to admit, my daughter's wedding a couple weeks ago, a month ago, it was a pretty good buffet there. That was up there for me. But I began to think about, what if we at Southside put together sort of the best of and made a buffet? And here's what I'm talking about. Like, has anybody ever had James's desserts? Like, James's desserts are, they're incredible. In fact, you thought that mission groups were organized around neighborhoods, right? Well, James was in my mission group for at least 12 years because he made the best desserts ever. The problem is he moved to New Westminster. And either I have to now move to New Westminster so I can be back in James' group again, or I got to figure out some way that we can reconfigure mission groups so I can get James back. His desserts are spectacular. And there's Janine. Now, Janine's in our mission group in Robson Park area now. She makes this blueberry thing. I don't even know what to call it. But it's like, if I was ever sort of, this is your last meal on earth, Cam, what would you, Janine's blueberry thing, has to go right up at the top. Helen makes unbelievable meatballs. Marion, whatever you make, it's just, let's just have some of that. That's wonderful. We could go through, and you know, there's people that just have this incredible gift of making certain things. Shelly, your crumble is spectacular. Now, we're not talking about buffets today. It's something like that. What if we were talking about life as a buffet? Or life as, well, let me paint a picture. Something more practical. But what if I learned to make decisions that were always full of wisdom and always headed in the right direction? What if my life displayed a sense of power so that people were drawn to me not by any physical attribute or achievement, but rather because there was just this awareness of presence of Jesus loving me? And not just for me, what about us? What about if we learned to live together in such a way that people all over our neighborhoods were just immediately, like, we were like a magnet. People were drawn to us. Why? We were selfless. We learned to think of others. We learned to forgive each other in a hurry. We learned to help each other out. On. What if we would make decisions as a church that would always be recognized as not trying to grow a church, live for others? And what if there was a sense of power in us as a people where Everybody that would meet us or would see us or would know of us would know that the presence of Christ dwelt among us. Not as church service on Sunday. People would say, surely God is in there. And what if God lived in the neighborhood? And this place, or Forest Grove, or some of the other neighborhoods were involved in, it became a place of peace. There was a change in the level of violence or of crime. There was a way in which people started to live together that people literally said, oh yeah, that hiking area, I want to be there. Or Forest Grove, yeah, there's a group of people there that have transformed the neighborhood. That the way or the decisions that people made in those places were not just about themselves, but about other people. The policies that sort of govern the way life happened indicated there was a new kingdom. A new king that made the decision. What if there was a sense of power in this neighborhood where people were healed? And design for the way people should live. It's about his presence. It's about his power. And I want to talk about two things. Maybe a little unusual for talking about two things in the gifts of the Spirit, but I want to talk first about God's gifts to us. Two gifts. And then secondly, I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So first, let's go quite quickly. Because I think this is important as a foundation, that God has given us two gifts. The first, you'll know quickly, because we talk about him all the time, the first gift God gave us is Jesus. We call Jesus an advocate, or, using Old Testament language, he was a kinsman redeemer. I think it's 13 years ago. It might be 12, it might be 15. Don't hold me to the exact, but I think about 13 years ago. We, as a church, made a decision to purchase property and building. Our congregation was growing up out there, and they were growing in new numbers, and we wanted to find a way to actually make a difference in the neighborhood. So a piece of land became available for us. And everyone in all four congregations at that point began to give generously to make it happen. But there was this tension in me at one point that I'll never forget. I can still feel it in the pit of my stomach, as if it was 5 minutes ago, not 13 years. We went and we put an offer in on this place. It was accepted. You have to put $50,000 down to hold a piece of property. We've been to the bank, and the bank has had conversations with us and said, yeah, there should be no problem on the mortgage. So I wasn't the only one responsible, but I was leading, and so I felt responsible, and we put $50,000 down, only to get 2 days before closing, and the bank calls and says, we don't think we're going to do money. We needed $1.37 million within 48 hours. Maybe it was 60 from Friday afternoon until Monday morning. $1.37 million in the weekend in order to not lose our $50,000. Now, I suppose at the worst you can say, well, you could have lost $50,000 and walked away from it, but who wants to lose $50,000? And when you're responsible for something, the last thing I wanted hanging on my shoulders was, I just lost the church $50,000. You have any idea of the pressure that was sitting there? You ever had to raise $1.37 million in 60 hours? I had no idea what I was doing. We prayed, and I phoned my friend Wayne. Wayne is a financial guru in the city, and I said, help. I haven't got a clue what to do. Can you please give me some ideas? Raymond became an advocate for me. He took that issue on his shoulders. And within 24 hours, phoned me back and said, done. Why did I need Raymond? I could never in my life have figured out how could I do this. God brought somebody. And Wayman wasn't just an advocate for me. He was an advocate for us. Because we were going to lose the money, and we were going to lose the property, and it was our desire as a church to be able to go into the neighborhood and make a difference. And in a sense, Wayne was even an advocate for the neighborhood. He didn't know them. But if we didn't get that property and weren't able to minister in that neighborhood, then there's probably a bunch of people that may not have had a chance to hear about Jesus. I hope you know where I'm going with this. Jesus has done that for us, hasn't he? I put me in a bad spot. I've sinned, I've gone my own way, I've done my own thing. I need an advocate, because I can't bail myself out. But we have done the same thing. And Jesus has come along, and Jesus has been my advocate. But more than that, he's been our advocate. Because Jesus came to save me, for sure. He died on the cross, raised again, so that I might be redeemed and have new life. But he came so that in us there may be new life. Why? Because he's also an advocate for the world. And it's in us, as a people redeemed, that the world begins to see who God really is. There's a gift that God gives us. The gift is his Son. You know the person. For God so loved the world that he gave. Okay, now why am I telling you that? Because he gives us a second gift. And I'm telling you the first gift. You know that already. You've heard that many times. You've believed that. But I think the second gift, we sort of subordinate. We put in a subordinate position. You remember last week we talked in John chapter 14. Jesus is leaving. He's sitting around the table with his disciples, and he says, it's better for you that I go. I gotta leave. Now, if I'm one of the 12 sitting around the table and I hear Jesus say this, I'm going, you're out of your mind. Like, forget it. There's no way. It's better that you're here. It's been really good with you for 3 years. We've seen all that you've done. He goes, no. For I'm going to send, and I love this phrase, another advocate. I've been your advocate, and I will continue to be your advocate in front of the Father, but I'm going to send you another advocate who will dwell in you. James, wasn't it lemon meringue pie that we made all the time for? Bake the last one. What was the one you made all the time that you just couldn't get enough of? I thought it was lemon meringue. Work with me. We're going to get lemon meringue for now. James leads our mission group, and I'm thinking, this is terrible. I don't have any more lemon meringue pie. So what can I do? I can get James to teach me to make lemon meringue pie. And every once in a while, I'll do a good one, and it's like, it's not James's, but it's okay, it'll pass. But what if I could get James to literally move into my body? And every time I wanted a lemon meringue pie, James, in my body, made this lemon meringue pie. It would be spectacular. You know, in a sense, that's not far off from what we're talking about with the Spirit. Soccer. It's more realistic for me than lemon meringue pies. I was growing up, and my hero was a guy by the name of Kenny Dalglish. None of you probably even know who he is. A couple of you might have heard his name. But I watched and watched and watched, and I tried to do the thing he would do, and because I just thought he was the best soccer player ever. And one day, I tried one of his moves in a game, and it worked. And I came off the pitch, and somebody said to me, wow, that's a great move. When you did that move, you look like Kenny Dalglish. That happened one time in my life. But what if Kenny Dalglish could actually indwell me, and I could play like Kenny Dalglish all the time? Or what if, for all of us, have the Spirit of God indwell us so that we actually did the things that Jesus asked us to do all the time. If I can have the Spirit of Jesus dwelling in me, he would teach me, guide me, empower me to live the way he's instructed me to live. Last week we talked about Matthew 11. And we asked the question, how do we have the Spirit of God indwell us? And Jesus says, ask. Cameron, you're not a bad dad. He does some things really well, he does some things not so well. But you're not too bad. And if you, who are not such a bad dad, but not the best, if you, when Matt asks you for a piece of bread, know that you should give him a piece of bread, not a stone. And when he asks you for, I was going to say a fish, but with Matt, it's probably a steak. If he asks you for a steak, you're not going to give him a scorpion. Then how much more does your Father in heaven know? When you ask for the Spirit, he's going to give you the Spirit. The Spirit indwells us so that we might live as Jesus invited us to live, personally and corporately. Why? For the sake of the world. So that all the world will glorify him and will know that he is Lord. Jesus is advocate. Holy Spirit is advocate. And we spend lots of time rightly talking about Jesus and not enough time understanding how the Spirit works. You remember the story in Acts chapter 19? There were a whole bunch of people who believed. They'd been baptized, and Paul comes along and he says, if you've been baptized by John the Baptist's baptism or by the baptism of Jesus, have you been baptized in the Spirit? They were doing all the religious things, but they didn't have the power of the Spirit at work in them. And sometimes I look at the North American church, sometimes I look in the mirror, and I wonder. There's the first part. Let's talk about the second part. And really, it's the part out of 1 Corinthians 12 that I think we need to pay attention. What are the gifts of the Spirit? God gives us two gifts, the gift of his Son and the gift of the Spirit. But the Spirit gives us gifts. And I want to unpack that because I'm not sure there's a topic in the New Testament, or at least a topic in the church about the New Testament today, that we're less informed or more misinformed or where we lack knowledge. It's caused tension all over the place. It causes divisions in churches. It does damage to people, and it's, in a sense, we've created a hierarchy of positions. We have the Pentecostals over here who say, unless you speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Spirit. We have the dispensationalists over here who say, all that stuff ended 2,000 years ago. And what is it? And we have more tension around that stuff than perhaps any other subject. Well, I want to talk about the gifts in a couple of different ways. And let me start by talking about supernatural gifts of the Spirit. What are they? You know what they are. They're tongues, interpretation of tongues, words of knowledge, prophecy, healing, miracles. Things that you know that we can't do in our own strength. Why do we give? Why does the Spirit give them? Well, Paul says in verse 7, he gives them, and I love this phrase, for the common good. He gives them not so that we would create a hierarchy, not so that we would argue, but rather so that each one of us would be built up. We'd see Jesus and we would increase or develop our faith. So what do they look like? Some of you remember our retreat a couple years ago. I got the name of Jacob John was speaking. And Jacob was, he's a funny guy. He's a dear friend. He's from India. And he came along and he began to talk to us. And every once in a while he'd say, I think God's saying to me, Dan, here's a word from the Lord for you. And he'd speak that into us. Well, he phoned me this week and he said, Cam, it's time for lunch. We hadn't had lunch for 3 months together. And oftentimes our conversations are around like that. He's not trying to complain now, so I knew that wasn't it. He said, so Jacob, what's the deal? He goes, well, God's given me something. He goes, no, you don't have to worry. It's all positive. Okay. So I figured I'll go treat Jacob for lunch, and away we go. I hear these positive things from the Lord. So he, we talked for about an hour, and then he comes to the point, he goes, I've got to tell you these things from the Lord. So he pulls out his iPhone, and he's written them all down in his iPhone. And he's got a list of 7 things that the Lord said that he's supposed to communicate to me. Now, you don't need to know all of them. They were all positive, and I affirmed them. But he comes to the last 2. And he says, you're about to enter into something bigger than you've ever done before. Now, what he didn't know was that he was making me late for my next meeting, and my next meeting was with the consultant who was helping us to redevelop this property. And I, believe me, $1.37 million that we had to raise for the Willoughby property, that's nothing compared to what we're about to do here. And this is by far the biggest thing that I or we will ever have been involved in. And we need God more than you ever can imagine. So I'm laughing inside. You're about to enter into something bigger than you've ever done before. I'm like, yeah, if you hurry up and finish your list, I'll actually get to my meeting. Then he comes to the last one and he goes, you're going to need to learn to trust in Italian. And I first got laughing. Because this week, both the consultant and another developer in town who's very well known had said to me, we think you should use, and they named the company who's led by a guy. And I just went, all right, boy, you've got such a sense of humor. When I got home later, and Shelley told the story. And do you want me to tell it, or do you want to tell it? Shelley was out yesterday morning. She'd been asked to be on the prayer team for night shift ministry in this group. And they went to do a prayer walk, and as if you've seen the area where night shift is, have you heard of Tent Alley in the Wall area? There's like a three-block area, and there's literally, on both sides of the streets, people living in tents lined up along the road. It's a pretty harsh site, and the kinds of people that are there, your heart just breaks. So Shelley and these other two women were walking yesterday, and I guess one of the women sort of said, it just seems like this heavy spiritual battle is going on. So the lady stopped, and Shelley prayed something along the line of, Lord, there's oppression here, there's demons, there's evil spirits. Would you please send them away, tell them to leave? In your name we pray. And on they went. And they stopped in other places and began to pray. And just praying over these people and praying for these people and praying for what God wanted to do in this place. All of a sudden, this woman comes and from literally out of nowhere is among the three ladies who were praying. Shelley said they'd never seen her before, didn't know where she came from, and she didn't really fit in with the rest of the people that were there. She sort of looked like she'd come from somewhere else. But she says, hi, and the ladies say hi, and then she says, sort of, what are you doing? And I think Shelley or one of the other ladies said something along the lines of, why are you here? Where do you live? And the woman became visibly sort of hostile and said, I live here and I'm not leaving. And I left. And it took the ladies a couple of minutes to sort of put through the video together. They just prayed that God would send away evil spirits. This woman had come in the midst, and I believe that part of the supernatural gifting of the Spirit is we learn to discern when there are evil spirits present. We learn how to pray. Rick and I went to Calgary on Friday. We went to Calgary because our denomination, the Baptist Union, or the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada, had a conference that every couple of years several of us need to go to and sort of check in and see what's happening in the conference. It was a good day. Part of it being a good day was around lunchtime. Rick and I were about to leave and go get our bag lunch. And I see this woman waving at me from across the room, which was much bigger than this. And she's waving, and I look, and it's a dear friend of mine who leads Alpha Canada called Sheila Bissell. I go over, and Sheila is not being in for lunch, so Rick and I take Sheila to lunch. I mean, Rick and I have the sharpest knives in the drawer, but whenever you get a chance to have lunch with the leader of Alpha Canada, and we're running three Alpha courses, you take it, right? So we take Sheila out for lunch, and we just bombard her with all kinds of questions about Alpha. And long story short, one of the things that she said is, Cam, where we're seeing the biggest impact on people is on the week on healing. Holy Spirit weekend is big, and then the next week when we talk about healing, it's even bigger, and more people are giving their lives to Jesus than we can ever remember. I said, well, do you have an example? She said, yeah. She said, our church runs Alpha. She goes to Grand Hill Chapel. And she said, we were running an Alpha, and all kinds of people were coming. probably about the number that we have here this morning. And some are Christians and some are not Christians. And she said, we get to the week on healing, and the leaders get together early, and we come and we pray. And then the guy who's leading that evening gets a whiteboard up front, show the video of Mickey and the talk that night, and then we get in our tables, we have discussion. And then he says, we're going to have sort of a big group discussion around this issue. We're going to put it in practice. So he said, what I want you to do, and I know some of you are not familiar with this, he says, but what I want you to do is I want you to bow your heads, I want you to begin to pray, and I just want you to ask God if he has a picture or a word or something for the group tonight. So they do this. And some of these people have never been in church, have never learned about it, but he says, come on, let's try this. So they do. And then after about 5 minutes, he stops them and he says, now, did anybody get a picture or a word from the Lord that we need to write down on the board? And so, you know, somebody says, oh, well, yeah, I got a picture of a sore shoulder. Somebody else says, a sore back. Somebody else says, yeah, a hurt foot. I mean, they're pretty generic kind of things. But, you know, I did a poll here this morning. There's probably somebody here with a sore back. Or there's probably, so these were kind of safe things. And the leader knew that. So he's writing them down on the board. And then he says, all right, let's start praying for these things. And they probably pray for another 5 minutes. The leader stops and he says, something's wrong. He says, there's somebody else here who God gave a picture to, God gave a word to, that's not telling the whole story. You're scared to share. A woman who hadn't been a Christian very long says, I think God gave me a word, but it's too weird. It's hard for me to tell it. And the leader goes, well, what is it? And she said, blue double. Blue double. Well, okay, let's take that from the Lord. He writes it on the board, and they start to pray again. And as they start to pray, a man just starts to pray. And Jonathan, if you started weeping right now, there'd be a couple people around you. Dan would put his hand on your shoulder and he'd probably give you a hug and pray and turn around and see if you can help. But the rest of us would kind of be a little bit awkward and thinking, what's wrong with this guy? The guy kept weeping and weeping and weeping. It like interrupted the whole thing. So the leader said, something's going on, you want to tell us? I've been coming to Alpha for a number of weeks, and honestly, I've been trying to understand who God is. I don't get it, and I'm not sure this was for me. But this week I went to the hospital with my wife, where we were getting diagnostic tests about our son. And he was diagnosed, our 3-year-old son, with autism. I went home, he said, on that Saturday night, and I went into the workshop in my house, and I made letters out of blocks, out of wood, letters of his name, and I painted them blue, and I went to his door. And his bed was right to his face. I started nailing these letters in the door, and I got to the W, which is our last name. And I hammered the W into the door, and I broke down, and I fell on the knees. And I said, God, you're beautiful. God, you're beautiful. He said, I've never met that one before. She doesn't know my last name. She doesn't know I have kids. She doesn't know that I call my names. It screamed out my God, show me your being. It's when I was kneeling with the blue double. And these stories happen all the time. We just don't pay attention. We don't just don't put ourselves in a position to expect them. These are supernatural gifts that the Spirit gives. And I think they're not really that supernatural at all because they can happen all the time. Okay? There are natural things. Not just supernatural, but natural. What are they? Helps, mercy, compassion, generosity, leadership. And, you know, like we've heard before, there's a whole bunch of songs. Mary and I came in when we were talking about the family, the people that are coming with refugee status. I can't speak as much for Kira to conceive, but I can tell you what happened at our feet. But Marion went through that and gently informed us. I was going to say rebuke, but it wasn't. It was way too gentle for rebuke. That we're not to call them a refugee family anymore. We're to actually call them people who have come with refugee status. Something happened at Rockland Primary School. Now, Marion is full of compassion and full of mercy. And that can be a natural thing. But in that moment, the Spirit of God worked in and through her for our benefit to teach us what it's about. We see this all the time. God takes natural abilities that we have, and I can work really hard to talk. And sometimes talks that come out of my mouth, they go, that's okay. And then there's other times when the Spirit of God just works in and through me, and you just know, hey, God spoke this morning. And whether it's me, or whether it's great lady worship, or whatever it might be, it's natural things that somehow the Spirit of God dwells in us, and all of our attention, all of our focus goes on Him, not on the person. And the Spirit of God is given to us as a gift, so that we might speak in tongues, have words of knowledge, heal people, pray for miracles, for the sake of building up the body, for the sake of turning people towards Jesus. And not just those supernatural ones, but the natural ones. They're just little things. Gifts are used for the same things. I have so many stories of that, but I want to quit. I have two more things that I want to tell you, both of them can be done in a couple seconds. I think it's important that you hear all that I've said today. But you can take all of it and push it aside for this next one sentence. In a way, all that we've been taught about spiritual gifts is wrong. Here's what I mean. We do not have spiritual gifts. We are spiritual gifts. The Spirit of God does not give some of us the gift of healing so that we can say, oh yeah, I agree. No, the Spirit of God gives to us, the body, a gift of healing manifested through Craig on one occasion for the sake of the body and manifested through Tasso on another occasion for the sake of the body. It's not good enough for Craig to say, well, I got the gift of healing, so you know, I'm kind of up here on the ladder, and Tasso, you only got the gift of, well, maybe it's mercy or compassion, so you're not quite the same. It doesn't work that way. We are the gift. And when the Spirit of God works in us, we are a gift to one another. There's none better than another. We each are needed. There's the first sentence. Here's the second one. So we, each one of us as individuals, are a gift to the whole. But second of all, we as a whole, we the church, are a gift to the neighbor. The Spirit of God indwells us, His people, empowers us, teaches us, guides us, so that we might make a difference in the places where we live, that God's dream of what society looks like will come to fruition. Friends, what would happen if we were removed from this neighborhood or from forest growth? We're going to continue this at retreat. We have lots to learn and lots to talk about, but we have lots to be thankful for. Can I invite you to bow for a closing prayer with me? I'm going to pray for us and invite us to pray a little bit, and then Craig's going to lead us in a closing chorus that we're all going to sing with the band of sheep. That's good. Let me invite you, in your own words quietly, to just find words to say thank you to the Father for sending His Son, and the Father and Son for sending the Spirit. Lord Jesus, we receive you as a gift. You've redeemed us. You've been an advocate. And Holy Spirit, we give you thanks we receive you as a gift. Another advocate, the one who will teach us how to live as Jesus Christ, the one who will guide us in our decisions and lead us to follow him, and the one who will empower us and enable us to accomplish all that you've set out. On the screen behind me, there will be a list of some of the gifts that the Spirit manifests in us as a body. And I want you to just open your eyes and have a look at the screen.